Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. This morning, it is the 11th of October, and a delight to have you with us. We have a lot to discuss today, and I would assume I'm making a bet here that we'll probably, up until this election, we'll have a lot to talk about, and there'll be many twists and turns along the way, and certainly yesterday and this morning are no exceptions to that rule, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me introduce the panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartog is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. I think it's a good morning. I'm a little worried about the lockbox, so I'm not myself.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second, and we'll fully address it. Okay. Is that? That may be mine. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is yours?
I may be.
Sure.
Thank you.
They're talking about coffee.
If you're about coffee.
Why do you guys have headphones on, both of you?
I always have headphones on because I have to hear the language.
Uh-huh.
The language. No, I have to hear the music.
Locker room language? It's locker
yes,
room talk,
it's
right?
It's locker room talk.
I heard you guys do that.
Yeah, you know, it's. I just love that every sports team is coming out going, oh, we don't talk like that. that's so great. Okay, so we'll talk about the lockbox in a second. WAMC.org. If you can't wait. Now, Rosemary Armeo is here. She is the director of the journalism program at UAlbany. Did I get it right?
Perfect.
Thank you very
Excellent.
Much.
Excellent.
I've actually
Thank you.
Been planning as if you've been on the panel for 4 years. And Mike Spain is the associate editor of the Times Union newspaper. He joins us each and every Tuesday and whenever I can beg him to be here. So good morning.
Thank
good
morning.
You very
good
much
morning.
For,
Happy to be here,
for being with us. Always nice to have you on the program. All right. So before we dig in, let's talk about the lockbox. We have some exciting news. I don't know that I have a total. Did you get a total, Alan?
Well, I heard something like 316 the last time.
All right. So $316,000 in the lockbox. We're looking for $400,000 in the lockbox to get the $10,000 from Jane Kane. And that is all before Monday.
Yeah, look, that's why I'm worried, because, look, it's getting close now. People say to me, do you really worry? Are you making this stuff up? No, I'm really worried. I'm really worried we can do this. We can go in, hitting almost on the halfway mark in the drive. And the point is symbolically that it means we're all doing this as a unit, together, and that's what's so important.
Now get ready for a lockbox exclusive. This is where if you were in commercial radio, there would be that sound, right? It's a lockbox exclusive. We're going to be doing the roundtable panel live at the Linda on the day after Election Day, Wednesday, November 9th at 9 o'clock, and we're going to go from 9 to 11, 2 hours. We'll have a continental breakfast for you. The doors will open at 8:15. And it's the day after Election Day. The way we're putting it is that all the panel members who we can fit on the stage will be with us.
Okay. So how many panel members can be fit on the
well,
stage?
Well, I don't know yet because I have put
because
out all
he's
of
just
my...
just springing it on us.
That is not true. I asked you last week.
No, he did.
I did. You said yes. You and Barbara said yes.
Yeah. And I certainly said yes.
Yes.
Well, we wouldn't miss it.
Well, I know.
Well, there will be an element of fatigue from your panelists who will
yes,
have stayed up at least till 10 after 9 to see the outcome.
Well, that's right. Well, that's right. And Alan and I are doing election. We're hosting election night here the night before.
Are you just going to go right across
the
street?
And we'll just go right across the street and start the show. So
yes,
it'll all be fine. For $125, you can get a pair of tickets. And this is a lockbox exclusive. And here's the thing about this. We only have I believe it's 100. Yeah, 100 pairs, right? Is that true?
That makes sense.
Is that a pair?
Yeah. 100 pairs.
Yeah, 100 pairs of tickets.
Yeah.
So $125, you get a pair of tickets. You get a round table, cats and dogs, New Yorker style mug. You get some breakfast. You get to...
You know how they always say, you get your coffee.
Yes, you get coffee. We have been featuring those little pigs in a blanket lately have been very nice.
Very popular.
Yeah, very popular with the crowd. So this will be, the third one that we've done, but let's face it, we have not done one the day after an election, and there's going to be a lot on everybody's mind, and I will tell you right now that is all we will talk about.
Oh boy.
So we don't need to send you a story about the town and colony landfill.
No. Unless they found like 300,000 votes in the landfill. No, you don't. So it's $125 and you can come join us live at the Linda. And it is great. It's
well,
a lot of fun.
The coffee cup itself makes it work.
There you go. Now, haven't you both had fun doing this in front of a...
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yes.
The audience is
all
fabulous.
Three of you.
Yeah, they ask great questions.
It is remarkable.
The
experience of having people come out.
And can you just imagine what that day might look like? You know, either there might be a certain amount of joy in the auditorium, or there might be people who are on their way to the travel agent for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm. Or a therapy session.
Or to check out, you know, some property in Canada.
Yeah. Or a gun shop.
That was his travel.
Sorry.
Don't you get
I think that's
reference?
A possibility.
Don't you get it? That's what I meant, Mike. You're on the way to that travel agent.
That, yes.
Okay. Good grief.
All right. So it's the roundtable panel live at the Linda Wednesday, November 9th. It's the day after Election Day, so we want you there. We only have 100 pairs of tickets, so when they're gone, they're gone. So as Alan says, don't come crying to us when they're gone, because there's nothing we can do. There's fire code, for God's sakes.
Don't be crying at us.
Oh, they can purchase these prior, and it goes in the lockbox?
The money goes in the lockbox. This is a lockbox exclusive.
Yeah, don't be crying at us.
There's a song, right?
No, I like that. I like the whole red, the don't be as opposed to
don't be.
Don't.
Okay. So it's $125 and you get a lot of stuff and so go do it. WAMC.org. All right.
Although there's a good reason to just give because we want to get this thing done in record time so that we can go right back. Right, Joe? Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Right back to the coverage, which we absolutely have to do. Somebody said to me last night, okay, Roselle, she said, are you going to have a round table during the fun drive? No, I said. But we may have something to say during the fun drive about the whole unfolding process.
Well, and obviously, if there's breaking news, we will cover that breaking news. But otherwise,
now isn't there a debate during our week?
Yes. I mean, it's after we're off the air, thank God.
Yes.
But it is at 9 o'clock on that Wednesday, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, and just so you know, by the way, the fun drive. I know you know this, but the fun drive begins on Monday, October 17th. So. Mark your calendars and get ready for that. All right, let's go to a show and start talking about what has been happening over the past 24 hours and still fallout from the debate, of course. But, of course, the big fallout comes from one Paul Ryan, Speaker of the House, who announced yesterday through a conference call that he would not defend Donald Trump any longer. I was actually never aware that he was anyway, but he apparently will not be defending him any longer. He also will not be appearing with him. He will not be supporting him in any way. So the obvious question you then ask is, oh, does that mean he's no longer endorsing him? No, that's not what that means. He will still vote for him. He will just not help him in any way because he is trying to protect the House of Representatives, which, according to new polling, there is actually a chance with Hillary Clinton now at in some polls up to a 14-point lead that the House is in play. So with that news, I turn it over to the panel.
Well, first of all, I just want everybody to remember that to take the House is very difficult, and I'll tell you why, because a lot of the Republican legislatures, like in Texas, seriously gerrymandered and kicked out all the Democrats from their delegation, and they had a lot of Democrats, very good people, and they're all gone. But those districts are drawn specifically. It's one of the worst things about what we call American democracy, that the legislature is allowed to draw districts where they can win and other guys can lose. That's why in New York the last time around, I believe the federal judge did it, and we had a couple of fair fights, Zephyr Teachout versus John Faso. That's going to be a fair fight in that district, and that's why it's so close. Look, Ryan is between a rock and a hard place. We know it. He got real pushback from the conservatives in his caucus. And they said, how dare you? Why are you doing this? Because we all know that there are 35% of the people, at least, who are not going away from Trump no matter what he says, no matter what he does. And if you're a Republican and they feel you're hurting their guy, they're going to punish you. It's that simple.
Rosemary?
What he does is immaterial. It doesn't matter to the Trump people who already believe he wasn't on their side, which he was not. It doesn't matter to people like me who would have been and ready to embrace him as at least as someone who was willing to talk to across the aisle. But now I just see him as completely lacking in leadership and in courage. I think his behavior has been just deplorable. Ha! Nice word, Hillary.
Put it in a basket, Rosemary.
Yeah, I think I just don't see how he wins at all. And furthermore, I think he's harming the one thing he really cares about, which is the Republican Party. If anything, the actions of this past weekend have completely divided the Republican Party. You now have the Tea Party wing and the regular Republican Party wing. And I don't see how he has done anything to heal, to protect Congress,
who are you talking about
or to
now?
Help
You're
himself.
Talking about
Paul Ryan.
Well, I think there's one other thing you have to remember. Paul Ryan desperately wants to be president of the United States. And
well, good luck, Paul.
Well, no, that's what he wants to do. And there are people who will tell you that if he were the candidate right now, this would be a different picture.
Well, there's a lot of candidates who would get support, you know, right now.
Okay, so I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say he's trying to have his cake and eat it, too. He's trying to stay in support of the party's nominee while having nothing to do with him at all and telling his members. It would have been an interesting phone call to be on, this conference call with all the Republican members of the House of Representatives and Paul Ryan, where he's basically advising them, according to the reports that have come out, to go your own way, do what you need to do in your district.
Save your butt.
Save your butt because we need you here. And if he's able to succeed and continue on as the speaker because the Republicans hold on to the majority, you know, he might be the last guy standing in the Republican Party.
Well, he certainly is now, right? Yeah. I mean, he's right up there. Don't you think, though, that he's seen some research which is making him do this?
Like what? Right.
Well, okay, internal polling saying that
his congressional delegation is at stake here.
Yeah.
And so, Rosemary, while I certainly agree with what you're saying, I already said it in terms of rock and a hard place, I think he takes a look at that and he knows that if the House goes Democratic, he's in personal trouble, real trouble, and that he loses his majority and he has to do something. He can't continue to stay with a losing, sinking ship. So he decides, because he might want to run for president himself, maybe the next time. I think that's probably true.
It's self-interest. I just pointed out that.
Self-interest. Right.
Yeah.
But what would you, if his
main goal is to become president and he's going to wreck the whole country and his party and maybe Congress, which he will deal with even if he, whatever side he took.
Too easy.
Congress is a mess.
Too easy, Rosemary.
What's too easy?
What you're saying.
Why? Somebody ought to be thinking about the common good.
I'm about to tell you why. Why is because you now are his political advisor. What should he have done?
He should have stood up and taken a principled stand.
Like what?
Like saying from the very beginning, I cannot endorse this man. He knew it from the first day.
Okay, but he didn't. Things change.
Well, nothing. But what changed here?
Well, what changed here is Trump went further into the toilet.
Yeah, okay, but he was already in the toilet.
Then he could have done
He was not already in the same toilet he's in after this last spate.
Yeah, it looked like he might win before. Then he could have said, I made a mistake. He could have done the apology thing that we're so into these days. Why do we care about apologies? I hate them all. They're all insincere and written by lawyers and PR people. But anyway, he could have said, I made a mistake. I'm taking the stand I should have at the beginning, which is principled and what I really feel. I care about this country. I care about the party. And he is not the leader. Trump is not the leader I want.
Now, I don't in any way want you to think of this as in any way condescending.
Uh-oh.
But I truly believe that's a very naive statement. This is a guy, remember what his context is. Remember that he's the king of the Republicans. And he can't get up and now cut more leg out of the out of his fellow Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, save your phone calls, save your letters to me. But the fact of the matter is, he is a Republican. He's the head Republican, and he has to do what's best for that party. And apologizing would really wreck him.
But is this better?
Wait,
for the party?
No,
I don't know if
it changes anything. I mean, we all kind of knew that he couldn't stand Trump. and that he was avoiding talking about Trump in a positive way.
Did you
way.
Believe his endorsement? No.
It was no.
Why not, to Rosemary's point, then why not just stand up and say, look, I can't support this guy. Oh, you do what you want
to
do.
And here, okay, wait, one thing before we go to break and you cut me off, I have to say to Alan, you keep talking about naive and not taking a principled stand, and yet you are the first one on this panel to knock Hillary Clinton, who speaks to the moneyed class, which our politicians have always spoken to, and said, I need your support, I need your money now, and I need you to go along with me later to make real
change. What do you
change.
Mean, knock?
That's real politics.
What do you mean, knock? I have said, I endorsed, as you know, I didn't endorse him because we don't endorse here, but I supported,
you
I told you I was personally going to vote for Bernie. And then I said, but if Bernie doesn't make it, I'm voting for
right,
for,
but you
for
have
Hillary.
Consistently knocked her for the Goldman Sachs speeches.
Well, and she deserves to be knocked for that.
So let,
let,
Paul,
me, let me, if I may, ask the
that's
political
naive.
Scientist in the room.
That's
what
naive.
Other what other recent elections
that's
in the last
Rosemary.
40 years
yeah.
Where leaders of the Republican Party, people like Paul Ryan and his level, have you know, acknowledged that their candidate is losing and
well, you had some of it in Goldwater, no question.
Right,
about.
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, some of it.
You also had in '96 with right. Bob Dole,
yeah.
Where they said like 2 weeks before the election, they said, "Look, do what you have to do,
so
and go off on your
really
own
different.
Because yeah. you know we're yeah. with our guy. However, if you need to go out on your own to win your race,
we have our permission.
Do
and
it.
Now that yeah. you've mentioned the AG word, the Al Gore word. I want you to tell me what it is exactly that this is the guy who lost for president mainly.
What is Hillary Clinton thinking bringing him to Florida for a rally today? Yeah, is that what you're getting to?
Because remember, he distanced himself from Bill. That's why he lost.
Well, also, I think the more amusing part of that, and we do have to go to break and we're getting onto another topic, but I do find it amusing that the Clinton campaign is bringing an Al Gore to strengthen the millennials, because nothing says millennial power quite like Al Gore.
He speaks to the environment. That's an issue they care about a lot, and no one has really.
All right, tell me how many in that. Okay, then tell me how many in that generation have seen An Inconvenient Truth.
It doesn't matter. He'll bring it to them again. As soon as he starts talking about climate change, it's
going
to.
Our guy here.
They liked Bernie Sanders, and he's older than Gore.
Well, that's true. But
he
he's
liked
not,
them because of the issue.
But he's fiery.
They liked him.
So are you Gore admirer, are you?
Fiery.
Yeah,
I don't think
I am,
Gore
yeah.
is.
And
fiery.
I, yes.
No,
well, yeah,
certainly I, not.
Okay. Last call on the Paul Ryan issue. So he also left the door open, and this is just silly to me, but I'll ask it anyway, which is he left the door open to still pull his endorsement. Well,
what
does that do?
Yeah,
I mean, you had your chance, right?
He can't do it. I'm telling you guys, he can't do it because of those people who sit in his caucus and they make up a huge part.
Well, he has said himself that he is not yet ready to pull his endorsement, which gives the indication that there may be a point where he is ready.
Okay, Paul Ryan is never ready.
He said, I'm not yet ready to endorse Donald Trump about 2 months ago. After the
they're all sitting around, the Ryan guys are sitting around, and the smoke is coming up out of the chimney, and they are saying...
You admire Paul Ryan?
No.
All right, we're going to hold it there. We're going to take a break. We'll take stock of who admires who after this break. Well, good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable panel. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain, I'm Joe Donahue, and we welcome your letters at roundtable@wamc.org. We are talking and have been talking mostly about Paul Ryan and his talk yesterday with the GOP elite saying that he would not defend Donald Trump, and he was going to focus all of his efforts in the remaining days of this campaign on keeping the House in Republican hands. We have many letters. Let's go to those.
Well, here's from Peter, who says, enough. Good morning, Roundtable. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Enough about Trump versus Clinton and Paul Ryan. You should be spending some time talking about local politicians like Tedesco, Faso, and Stefanik, who are still supporting Trump. How do they justify voting for the sexist, misogynist, womanizer who degrades women? They simply are afraid that they'll turn off Trump voters. They're all cowards, unwilling to do the right thing for the sake of protecting their jobs. I just read them, folks. I don't write them.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're a voter. You're a voter, a citizen.
Yep.
And somebody comes to your house and says, hey, can we put you up a yard sign for Bob Smith, who's running for Senate?
Sure.
And you say, okay, I'm going to vote for Bob Smith. I like Bob Smith. And you go out and you put a sign in your yard for Bob Smith. And then Bob Smith, they have a tape of Bob Smith saying horrible things, using the N-word, being completely degrading. Do you take the sign out of your yard?
Yes.
Oh, I think that happens.
What's the question?
There's probably people.
Why aren't we seeing that with Trump?
Well, can you verify that the Trump signs are all still where they were? That some
have come down Sand Creek Road.
I'm going by what I see every day at work. And what I'm just saying is if you see what I'm getting at is there something in us, to this person's point, is there something in us that says, okay, here's what this guy said on tape that seems to be beyond the pale? Isn't that an endorsement in some way?
Wait.
What?
I watch the polls, and the polls are showing that 35-40%, no matter what he says, no matter where he goes, they just are with him. It's that simple. So when
your point,
yes,
which has always been, there are certain things that you don't tell your mother, that you don't tell your pollster.
Correct.
And I'm talking about telling the world. And that drive by your house.
Yes, but I think that already existed. I would venture to say that anybody who put up, not just somebody who might vote for Trump would put it up. With Bob Smith, he's a nice guy. Everyone likes him.
And he was on the Hattie Doody
Show.
Put it
up there, right. Yeah. Right.
But with Donald
Trump, I think anybody up until prior to this past weekend who put a Trump sign on their lawn already was a very devout Trump supporter.
Right.
Now, it wasn't a casual supporter. And those people are part of the 35% Alan was just talking about. They haven't changed. And that's why you don't see a difference. Not everybody would. What I've noticed is you drive up through the Adirondacks and you see Tedesco, you see other Republicans,
yeah.
You know, or maybe Steve McLaughlin, you know,
yep.
who's running for assembly, you know, and Kathy Marchione. And then you'll see some with Trump on this lawn with them, and you go a little farther, you see all the others, but you don't see Trump.
And also the gun guys. The
right.
gun guys also, you know, are putting up their signs, some of them, with the Trump guys.
Right, right. But what I'd like to say is there are distinctive front lawns that have all the Republicans who are running sans Trump, and there are others that have the Trump signs.
Well, that's interesting.
And I think that's because there are some who already are comfortable supporting other Republicans and have already decided they don't want to be associated with Trump.
With that said, what gave me the thought as I was driving to work is I saw a gentleman pulling out his Trump Pence sign and putting in a sign, and I just I have to take a picture of it because it says McCain Palin.
That's great.
That is one good commentary.
It's really great.
Well, there are some changes in the voting. We know that in the polling because, you know, she's doing much better and he's doing much worse. But by the way, you know, keep your eyes on the libertarians. He may actually end up getting What was that?
I don't think Gary Johnson can pull it off. He's just
idiot. Nor did I. But I am saying he may get an electoral vote or two.
Gary Johnson?
Yeah, well,
a couple of states allow you to have proportionate electoral
votes. And he's got 9%.
He's got 3% in some polls right now.
No.
Oh, he's dropped horribly.
I saw this MSC, I think.
I think you're right. I think Jill Stein was at 2 or 3%, and he was at, I think, 9 or 10, but yeah.
He's higher than, oh, my God. Well, even his own running mate, who probably should have been the presidential choice, has all but endorsed Hillary Clinton. That's not a good sign when your running mate says.
Bill Weld said last week that he was going to do everything he could to keep Donald Trump from becoming president, and you know,
that means voting for Hillary.
Yeah, and if they said, does that mean voting for Hillary Clinton? He said yes. So,
I'm a big Bill Weld fan. I think he's a very brilliant guy.
Well, then how did he end up as second banana to this?
I think he needed a little jolt
man.
Of publicity, personal publicity and affirmation.
Huh. It was just kind of fun.
Did he get it, running as second man?
But I am a big fan of his. He saved WAMC, but that's another story, and I'll talk about it at some other point.
Hmm. Like the fun drive, starting a week from yesterday. Yeah. All right, let's go to some other issues, if we may, talk about other. Well, actually, we haven't gotten to the letters yet, so let's get to the letters.
Let's go to those, and then we'll go to a break. I'm doing it. I swear I'm doing it if I could just make the device work here. Okay. All right. Tony, the beekeeper, says, with Speaker Ryan basically saying every candidate for himself, I wonder what effect this latest Donald Trump flap will have down ballot. I haven't heard John Faso or Elise Stefanik disavow their support for Trump. Am I wrong? I don't know. Does anybody else?
Well, they have not disavowed as far as I know, and I do know that Elise Stefanik's opponent...
Derek
is running ads at, or at least
calling on her.
Well, it's
calling her out. Calling her out for supporting Trump with all the things he said, playing the tapes of what Trump says, and then playing a tape of her continually saying, "I continue to support our candidate."
Yeah, but I do think that John Faso has said, "I'm supporting the ticket," but he has when pushed up against the wall and shoved there to say, "Are you supporting Trump?" He said he'll always answer by saying, "I believe I'm supporting the ticket." Which, look, these guys have a rough.
In his seat, which because a judge has established the apportionment of Democrats and Republicans and independents there, it could make a difference if he comes out and denounces Trump. It could hurt him, and he needs all of those votes. People might not. They're not going to go to teach out because he came out and supported Trump, but they might not vote for him.
So according
to all the votes,
according to our friends at the Daily Freeman, they report as of yesterday, 19th congressional district candidate John Faso on Saturday said he still supports Donald Trump as the Republican nominee for president, but can promise that will translate to a vote after the audio that surfaced.
or as we say, hum.
Right. Well, so
do you think Moore is going to come out, and I don't mean just on Trump, well, that's widely expected, but on Hillary. Can she mess this up as she has wont to do with a month left?
I don't think she can. Well, she certainly could mess it up, but I think she's so cautious that she herself will not do anything that will mess this up. What could mess it up is a revelation of, you know, more WikiLeaks that have very embarrassing things that she said.
But it's also wonky. I don't think people pay attention to it.
You're right.
It's the sex stuff.
Yeah. Not yet, unless, Joe, they're waiting.
Yeah,
unless they're waiting with the big one,
whatever that may be.
But even Trump is saying, "Look, as long as she keeps on releasing tapes of me, I'll go after her husband." That's what he said yesterday.
But we already know what he has.
Well, that's
all the ancient history he's dredging up.
Yeah.
The WikiLeaks or her just saying something stupid.
But other than the Russians, is there?
Other than the listen to this conversation.
I know. So other than the Russians, is there an organized group that would do it? Because certainly the Republican Party isn't organized enough to do it.
Trump still has the support of Mercer, doesn't he? Robert Mercer, the hedge fund billionaire, and his daughter who has been supporting him. And they certainly have the capacity to do. Basically, we're talking about opposition research, which Trump does not appear to have done very well if he's going back to Monica Lewinsky.
The Mercers, as of Saturday, say they still stand by Trump. So.
And Tom says, "You guys are so righteous. You would support the Democratic nominee no matter what. You are no better than the Trump supporters in that regard. Look at the email thing. You guys guys, explain that away. Anyone else would be in jail. Same with Bill.
No,
I'm not through with the letter. Same with Bill. Did you guys talk about Bill the same way when he treated women so poorly?"
Okay, here's the difference. Hillary Clinton has been investigated more than any other politician by the FBI, by congressional committees. Everybody has investigated her, and there are no charges. And I may say the same about Bill Clinton, who I think his behavior was immoral, and he was punished with impeachment. Donald Trump still remains to be, his whole litigation over Trump University remains to be seen what happens with that.
And
but other than
taxes,
that, his taxes, he's never been held accountable to. Thank you, IRS. Why have they not? Why has it taken the press to bring that to light?
He was using those loopholes that were there. He has to use those.
Okay,
sexual misconduct has not been looked at. There's a difference. You make a false equivalency, as do many others, when we say both candidates are equally bad. They are not.
Matt says, "Yesterday I had to put out my fourth Clinton yard sign. The previous three had mysteriously disappeared. I guess it was just over-enthusiastic Clinton supporters who couldn't wait to get their own signs to arrive."
Actually, there may be something to that, but probably not.
I put out Clinton signs, and every time I drive down my street, I fight the urge to run up and pull out Trump signs. I haven't done it yet.
I'm going to go put a Goldwater Miller sign on my lawn.
Miller. Ooh, you pulled that
William
out.
William Miller, right?
Wow.
Can I call him from Western New York?
Nice. Very nice, Mike. 10 points for Gryffindor.
Steven says, cowards, so GOP Congress members want to get reelected, so they still support Trump. Give them a break. I'm supporting Hillary, even though she gave W a free pass on Iraq. Steve.
Well, Alan does give them a lot of credit, but yeah, I would like to see somebody just stand up for what's right without personal interest. And it does happen. We saw it in our own legislature with votes on gay marriage, and people lost their jobs over it for a higher, better a goal, the attainment
That's
of right. something important.
That's courage. That's valor, you know.
And yeah, you may be at it. I mean,
it's
ask
not
Roy McDonald about that.
Right, exactly.
It's not completely naive.
Barbara
it's
says
to be wished for.
Bill Clinton should step up and announce very loudly that he is not running for president. His wife should not be held accountable for what he has done in the past, personally or professionally.
Actually, I would like to. No, he really hasn't. I would like to hear Bill Clinton just get up and say, you know, I'm a terrible person. I should not have done this, and I hate that it's hurting Hillary.
Yeah,
what would happen if he did that? Well, is that naive?
I'm a terrible person.
That part
yes.
I don't think I.
Yeah,
did.
I don't know.
No, I'm a flawed person. You know? I have weaknesses, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm afraid it's exactly the opposite. When he said that stupid thing about Obamacare the other day, I said this guy may be undermining his own wife's election.
I think he just has lapses.
I have wondered that too. If he really does, he really want Hillary to get it, because doesn't that diminish him a little bit? On the other hand, I do think that he has this visceral reaction when he's attacked. This is a man who wants to be popular, needs to be popular, and mostly has been popular. And so when his record is attacked, as his was on health care, and then he comes up with these stupid comments that are unthinking.
You know, about Obamacare, the reality is that it was passed very quickly when they had the slim majority to do it, and it was withering, you know.
Yeah, that's true, but why did he open his big fat mouth?
There are flaws in Obamacare.
Yeah, okay? But why? What are you, the truth teller? You're standing up there, your wife is running for president of the United States, and you undermine her campaign?
Well, I was going to say you could criticize the Republican Congress for not fixing it. They don't want to fix it. They just want to destroy it.
That's all true.
Let's pause there. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Support for WMC comes from The Whistling Kettle, Troy and Boston Spa, offering freshly baked quiche with a variety of herbs and spices, including vegetarian offerings, thewhistlingkettle.com. Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space, with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel and our discussion this morning. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but there was an interesting article in the New York Times late yesterday, and I wanted to bring it to the group. Coverage of the leaked 2005 audio tape of Donald Trump speaking in lewd language about women has produced an onslaught of reader mail at the New York Times, mostly because of the vile words contained in the coverage. Rosemary made the point yesterday. For the first time, the New York Times, which actually, I guess there has been one other point, but it was the first time in political coverage they used the F word, in other words, on the front page of the paper.
Yeah.
The majority of those writing in are asking how the decision was made rather than complaining about the choice to include such words. So they went to the Times political editor.
Public editor.
They were saying political editor.
Is that right?
Carolyn Ryan.
Before the public editor commented.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The public editor inbox is full of readers asking why the New York Times decided to use some of the most vile language spoken by Donald Trump in the audio released Friday. The words were used both on home and page on A1. Can you explain? So Carolyn Ryan, who is the political editor, said, "It's not a decision we made lightly. We had a spirited discussion among top editors led by the executive editor. The argument against using the words was driven by a concern that it would be jolting to readers, especially given that the story would be played so prominently on page one, and that there were other ways we could signal what Trump said without relying on the actual vulgar words. Ultimately, we decided that the words themselves were newsworthy and that omitting them or merely describing them or slyly hinting at them would have been would not have been forthright with our readers."
Well, we've crossed the Rubicon now, and I have a feeling this is set the style for the future.
No, I don't think so. I think one of the number one rules, if there are several in journalism, is that there's an exception to every rule, and I think that this was that. You know, newspapers follow guidelines where we don't show dead bodies, but if there was a horrific, war scene, you might show one, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
But, Mike, I think what happened here is that the New York Times has decided that Trump, for all the reasons I've laid out before, cannot be the president of the United States.
And this could backfire.
It could. Yeah. And they're going to do they've tried that with their spokesperson. What's her name, Rosemary?
Kellyanne Conway?
No, the one on the CNN panel who's always mouthing for the Republicans, you know. Always yelling,
McKinley.
My children are listening to this.
Oh,
You can't say that's this word.
McKinney?
No, she's the little blonde one. There's
little blonde one?
Well, they're all little blonde.
They're all
ones.
Little blonde.
Even the Latina is blonde. I think that's great. S.J. Delgado.
Oh, she's terrific.
Latino for Trump.
Okay.
Oh, Latino for Trump.
Anyway,
make
sorry.
Your point.
Missed my point. Oh, so my point is the New York Times has decided we are going to do whatever we have to do to prevent this guy who I believe they are thinking is capable of really bad things in this country from becoming president. And if it takes using the F word and spelling it out or other words, we're going to do it. That's what I think has happened here.
Politicians use raunchy language all the time. Just because they use raunchy language, does that become newsworthy here?
Yes.
I
thought his other words that he said that were not even profanity taken individually, but only in the sequence that he said
put
them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The public editor said that the really important point to highlight here is the language was used to help make the distinction between groping and sexual assault.
Yeah, that was the part that's interesting to me is that, and we have trouble with this. We had it with the Penn State scandal too, that we were describing what the coach did to young boys in the shower as something less than rape, which is what it was.
Jerry Sandusky
Jerry Sandusky, right? We pull back from these words, and right. We seem to do that here too. But I do have to say that language in printed form, this whole conversation is outdated. All of these words are used frequently and liberally on social media, which is the way increasingly people communicate now. So whether or not the New York Times puts the F word with the dots or written out, it's completely irrelevant to what people decide.
Doesn't Hillary have a commercial where she has Donald bleeped out saying the F word from a podium?
Yes, she does.
I mean, it's not a surprise that he would use such a word.
No,
but it is a crossover from tradition on major newspapers.
No
and that's
question.
What this is about.
So the gray lady using profanity is what we have here.
So if you use the asterisk, everybody knows what the word is. But if you use the real word, there's a difference.
Was it the way the transcripts were released from Nixon?
Expletive deleted. That's where it came from.
Well,
I thought the New York Daily News did it the best, where they used the actual quote, "Grab her by the," and then in the operative word, they had like a P and a Y and like little kitty cats all in between it. Adorable.
Yes, which to their credit came about a half hour after the tape was released.
Right.
Because they immediately put it on
social
media.
I asked my
son
to get me an actual
copy of that.
I want that for posterity.
Meanwhile, Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions says, "I don't characterize what he said as sexual assault. I think that's a stretch. I don't know what he meant." The reporter said, "So if you grab a woman by the genitals, that's not sexual assault?" "I don't know," the senator replied. "It's not clear that he," how that would occur.
Let's remember he's from Alabama.
There is some parsing. God. No, there is some parsing going on today. I've seen it a few other places too, where he talked. And Trump himself is saying that. You know, he speaks bad words, and I'm ashamed of those words, of course. But Bill Clinton performed acts of sex. In other words, Donald is denying that he ever did what he said he does, I guess.
I think the quote was more proof of that brave and courageous Republican leadership. I don't know what that is or how you do it.
Well, here's what I'm worried about. Let's just say that the House goes Republican, and the Senate goes Republican. I mean, I'm so sorry, I got it backwards. The House goes Democratic, the Senate goes Democratic. Hillary gets elected. One can only hope that, like previous Democratic presidents, including her husband, they don't squander the opportunity.
Well, some people are saying that scenario would actually allow the Republican Party, would sort of like come from the ashes in a new Republican Party that may be more representative of a broader spectrum would emerge.
Didn't happen this time.
Yeah. Well, that's true. One can hope.
So we have about a minute and a half before we have to go to a news break at the top of the hour. So let's do some letters and then we'll move on to some other stuff.
Okay. All right. We're going to do that. Bill says, the name you want is Scotty Nell Hughes.
That's it.
That's it. Thank you. We have such smart listeners.
Okay. And John says, I know how much you guys love Latin. So here goes. Mens rea, mens rea, mens rea. Hillary didn't have you, so she wasn't charged.
So should we be reading this?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, why don't we move on? Do we get a full Latin?
Trump and Bill, it struck me as you were reading emails, Clinton was impeached. That's just a trial, as I recall. That's right.
Correct.
Is Trump using that as a plus? I'm just like the only president impeached in the last 150 years. As for Bill's stupid Obamacare comment, as some commentator in New York Times, I think, or perhaps On Point observed, it shows that he has lost his fastball. He tripped up, and we are used to such complete verbal mastery from him. As I understand it, he was talking about the loophole that was hurting a smallish number of people. It was just a dumb thing to do, in my opinion. Okay, so let's see.
You know what was really cool, and we haven't talked about it, Warren Buffett coming out.
Oh,
yeah,
we should
talk about that.
It was great.
Great. Awesome. We're out of time. Okay. So you can do one more letter and then
we'll... It should be pointed out, years ago, 8 to 12, Trump's opinion on politics and war in Iraq was never asked for or cared for because the people didn't care for a celebrity response. We want smart political leaders, even rich ones, but not celebrities. Good day, folks, says Modesto.
And with that, we'll take a break. We will be back after this. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Mike Spain here this morning. Famed investor and billionaire Warren Buffett on Monday disputed presidential candidate Donald Trump's suggestion during Sunday's debate that both businessmen have taken liberal uses of tax deductions to avoid paying taxes. Trump said that Buffett had used a tax break called a tax loss carry forward that Trump has himself used. Weeks ago, the New York Times found Trump took a roughly $1 billion loss in 95 that has allowed him to shield income for nearly two decades. The CEO of investment company Berkshire Hathaway strongly refuted Trump's suggestion that he had taken advantage of the deduction and provided details about his tax-paying history. Quote, I have paid federal income tax every year since 1944 when I was 13 years old, he said in a statement. I have copies of all 72 of my returns and none uses a carry forward.
And he let out the return, right? I mean, he gave...
Even though he's under audit.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had a reported adjusted gross income in 2015 of $11,563,931.
That doesn't seem like that much for Warren Buffett.
And he found $5.5 million in deductions on that tax return, and he gave away $2.8 million in charitable gifts,
mostly to Bill Gates and to Bill Gates Foundation, his foundation. I love this guy. Period.
Yeah, he gives away his fortune for good.
Yes. He's what we that naive idea I have of working for the common good and being grateful for what you have. Yep. It's amazing. And R.K. Rowling, the author of...
J.K. Rowling.
Sorry, J.K. Rowling. You're
but also...
You know about her,
but
her claim.
What did she do? What did she do? Just
She's the first billionaire in the Forbes list to drop off the billionaire list because of charitable donations.
Well.
There were people who were, when the story just first came out that she had dropped off the list, they were saying, oh, you know, she must be spending a lot of money and she must be doing this and something must be going wrong. And they were really taking her to task. And then through the investigation, they found out, well, not investigation, but I mean, they provided the information, that she had given just tons of money to charitable organizations, which brought her down significantly and off the list.
I wonder if there's a British version of that carry forward tax break that she didn't take, right?
Uh-huh. I don't know, you know, and I would, look, I'd pay her money just to keep having her keep tweeting about Donald Trump, because that is endlessly entertaining. It's really good stuff.
She is also really good just on misogyny and sexism, too. She defends the Williams sisters.
Warren Buffett said that he's been audited several times and is currently being audited by the IRS. I have no problem in releasing my tax information while under audit. Neither would Mr. Trump. At least he would have no legal problem.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, I mean,
go
I think,
Warren Buffett, right?
Yeah, yes. I think it's pretty clear now that the reason Trump didn't want to do it is because he didn't want everybody to know he didn't pay any taxes. I mean, it's probably
Alan, if you listened to the debate the other night, you would have heard that that is the fault of Hillary Clinton, because she was a U.S. senator. She could have closed that loophole unilaterally with her Senate power.
You can just see them sitting around the debate preparation saying, okay, this is what you say when she says this. Yeah. Right. Hey, Joe, tell me about the lockbox again. What did you say about it?
I think this one, Rosemary, make run for the door. It is when Rosemary's going to run for the door. All right. Bye, Rosemary.
Bye, all.
See you later.
She's off to Schenectady to talk to school
nice
kids.
Nice to have you here. Thank
Union
you.
College students who are talking about politics.
Yeah.
She will
all
talk
right.
to them. Yes.
So the lockbox. I'm hoping for a figure. I'm wondering if I can get a figure.
Well, I'm sure somebody out in that room out there is. But I remember 316 when I came in this morning. I do remember that.
316.
316.
We are looking for a lockbox figure.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
If you can give me that, that would be great.
Joe is on the phone right now with the front office.
Thank you very much. All right, so we'll have that for you in just a moment. We've called the central office. In the meantime, let me tell you that we are, we still need a lot of money to get to $400,000.
Boy, do we ever.
Somewhere around $90,000, let's say. It may be less than that, but I think it's around $90,000. Okay, so we need that to get the $10,000 challenge from Jane Kane. All of this needs to be done by Monday morning at 6 a.m. when we start the fun drive with Alan and Ray, and then we want to make it as quick a drive as possible because we want to get back to covering this crucial election.
Okay. Susanna wrote, your discussion, says Susanna. That's right. That's Susanna who said that. First, love the hour and a half format. Please keep it. Second, to all the pearl clutches out there, Republican, Democrats, and others, Trump has been a vulgar bully all his life. Why should his behavior, current and past, come as a surprise? I'm more interested in knowing why the political discourse has fallen so low. Let's not forget that already during the Republican debates, the size of his male anatomy became a valid point of discussion. And then she goes on, but a little too long. Okay. And all like that. Joe, over to you.
So the lockbox total is $322,138.
Wow. So that means we need, what, $78,000 or so?
$78,000.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. We only have Tuesday, today, Wednesday, Thursday,
right?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the wee hours of the morning
Monday.
That's going to be very hard to do. I need everybody
usually
to get
Donald
over
Trump
there.
Is up then tweeting, so, you know, not everybody is asleep.
Yeah, it would be great if J.K. Rawlings or...
or Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett seems to be right. That's nice. So 322, we need to get to 400,000 to get to the point where we get the $10,000 challenge from Jane Kane.
And I want to just take a moment to talk about Jane, because she is such a wonderful person. She didn't have to do this, and she didn't want her name used. And I said, please, because people really like to know who's doing it. And she said, okay, Alan, we'll do it. And I so much appreciate that, because she is just such a symbol of the kind of sacrifices that so many people make, you know, whether it's $100 or whether it's $500. Money means different things to different people. And anything you can do, whether it's $5 or $1,000, we have seen it all in this drive already.
It's amazing, and we need your help. Roundtable at, I'm sorry, WAMC.org to help the lockbox, WAMC.org.
Or you can call it in at 1-800-323. Get that, 323. Get that, 9262. Get that, 1-800-323-9262. Hit zero.
Also, a reminder that for $125, there will be a live roundtable the day after Election Day. So that is the 9th. Am I right on that? The 9th of November. And we'll be having a postmortem of Election Day from 9 to 11 with the panel with Alan, myself, and all of the panelists that we can fit on that stage. And we'll go from 9 to 11 and talk almost exclusively about the election.
Yeah,
I would imagine exclusively about the election, almost exclusively.
Regardless of how it turns out.
That's right. A roundtable, cat and dogs, New Yorker-style mug, and breakfast and all of that for $125.
Wait, you get a mug?
You get a mug. We get this mug, actually. And the mug I'm drinking out of.
Oh, it's a terrific mug.
Peter Steiner, a wonderful New Yorker, former New Yorker cartoonist, who did a great roundtable mug for us, and or cartoon for us that we put on this lovely mug. And you'll get this as well. WAMC. .org, $125, and roundtable panel live at the window. So if you're a fan, you want to talk about Election Day politics, come out and join us on Wednesday, November 9th. This is a lockbox exclusive.
But even if you don't want to come, or you can't come for one reason or another, just remember it's your radio station. If you're tuned in right now and you love the roundtable and you love the panel, this is really a time to say thanks for that.
All right. So we welcome you to help out, WAMC.org. WAMC.org. All right. Let's go to some letters, and then we'll go for another minute or two, and then I'm going to have Mike finish up with a New York story.
Oh, a New York story. Oh, yeah. Okay, great. Patty says, hello, all. Just thought I'd mention that Buffett only claimed that amount of charitable contributions because that is the legal limit to claim. I believe the actual amount is over $1 billion. An amazing man, from Trish. Okay. And Mary says, J.K. Rowling worked for Amnesty International before she wrote Harry Potter. No wonder she's a generous donor. And Luke says, Warren Buffett gave $2.8 billion to charity, not million, last year. That's 75% of Trump's entire estate net worth. Buffett could end the fund drive right now. Get on it, Alan.
Warren?
Dear Mr. Buffett.
And Scott says, yes, it's great he pays his taxes on his $11 million and donates money, but he is worth like $300 billion, so he must be using some loopholes. All right. Deborah says, Warren gave away $2.8 billion.
But he released his taxes, but we know what he gave. Yeah. We know what he has. Yeah. We know everything because he released his tax returns.
Barbara says,
and he's not running for president either.
Oh, well, that's true.
What is this tax law that makes it legal not to pay taxes when your business suffers a loss? My husband's self-employed and has been told by the IRS he cannot claim a loss when clients do not pay their bills.
It's real estate, right? Mm. It's real estate.
That's right.
Don't look at me. I don't know. All I know is I don't have anybody working for me on K Street. James Brown. Trump's audio with Howard Stern, in which they discuss Trump's daughter's breasts and agreed that she is a piece of something, is sexual verbal assault against his daughters. There's no evidence yet that the abuse was also physical. Hey, there's no. I don't think that's fair. You know, you don't say there's no. You can't prove a negative. It's a weird thing to say
on the radio, though. Yeah. Although he's made several statements similar to that, but still.
Hi, panel. And Trump tries to sue Forbes because they didn't put him on the list. What a contrast. Okay.
All right, last one.
Okay. Michael says, Dear Roundtable, what puts the lie to Trump's insistence that these are just words is that you can clearly hear the rattling tic-tacs being tapped out of of the plastic as he describes what he's about to do.
I learned from Rosemary today that the company that makes tic-tacs have no comment.
They had comment.
They put out
a tweet saying that we respect and love women and that we don't want to be associated with this. No, they put out a really good, it was funny that Tic Tacs were putting out a statement, but they did. Mike.
Yes.
I need a new book to read.
Well,
have any suggestions?
Perhaps, Joe, you want a book for your book program. The former State Senate Majority Leader, Joe Bruno, 87-year-old Bruno, who was the majority leader from 1994 to 2008, one of the three men in the room, so to speak, that ran New York State government, has a new memoir. It's called Keep Swinging, A Memoir of Politics and Justice. And in there he talks about what he's talked about before, that he had a very humble upbringing. And when he was a young man, he learned to be a boxer. Those skills came in very handy when he got over to the state legislature and was involved in some pugnacious politics, so to speak. Our reporter, Matt Hamilton, read excerpts of the book. The book isn't coming out until November 29th. But what was in the excerpts were pretty fun and pretty interesting. One of the anecdotes is that Bruno was one of the three men in the room. The other was the Assembly Speaker, Sheldon Silver, and then Governor Pataki, George Pataki, back in the early 90s or late 90s. He was talking about Pataki was trying to broker a state budget, and Silver sat there. The way that Bruno describes him was quite humorous. He compared him to a frog just sitting there. Silver wouldn't back the budget that Pataki had unless he got like $62 million for a Brooklyn library. So Pataki looked at Bruno and said, will you go along with that? And he says, no, I want $62 million for my district in the Albany County Airport, which was later the Albany International Airport. And Silver said, as long as I get my, my library, everything's fine. So he does give a glimpse on how government works. Of course, he takes a lot of time to talk about the trial and conviction in 2009 in federal district court, where he was convicted of basically pay-to-play and corruption charges. Later on, retried and was acquitted. And now he's telling the story. So it should be a good book. You got to get him on the show, Joe.
Keep Swinging, A Memoir of Politics and Justice by Joe Bruno, which appears to be either self-published or...
I always liked him.
Yeah.
Fine guy. A very popular guy. Even till the day, this day, he seems to be, crowds cheer him when he goes to events. And his name is on a lot of things around
the
show.
Yeah, sure is. Yeah, you go down. On the other side of the river.
You go down the freeway 90 and you're past the Joe.
That's right. We are out of time. Thank you very much for being with us. We will continue the program and be back with more discussion on the Roundtable panel tomorrow. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.